If you have your Bibles handy there, we're going to be looking at our text is going to be in Philippians 2 in verse 5. That's where we're going to start there, and I'm going to kind of jump around a few verses tonight, do a little teaching this evening. Before we get started, let's bow with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy that is new every day, and the grace that you bestow on us. And Father, I pray that right now that we don't worry about the media, the newspapers and social media and all the chaos and calamity that seems to be going on. Father, let us unplug, and Father, give us the strength to take captive of our thoughts, and show us the desires, the true motive of our hearts. And Father, let us submit both of those to you. Let us surrender our lives to you in complete lordship. And Father, let us just be lost in the vastness of your love that has been poured out for each one of us. Father, let us submerge ourselves in you. Father, we're just so grateful that we have the privilege to gather together tonight. And thank you for all the blessings that we just take for granted every day. And Father, just be with the reading of the word tonight. Lead, guide, and direct. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, so after Sunday morning message, I got to thinking about the helmet of salvation, and I began to meditate on what the mind, you know, we was talking about the mind and protecting the mind, and how the mind is a battlefield, if you recall on Sunday. So I wanted to dive into tonight what the mind of Christ looks like, the mind of Christ. So let's look at the text in Philippians 2, and let's look in verse 5. We're just going to read one verse there. It says in verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ." Let this mind, so I want you to take that mind is also mind, and translate to mind and attitude. So I want you to notice, though, that this let, listen, this is not a suggestion. This is a command. All right, this is not a choice or an option. We are not supposed to have a good mind or even a moral mind. No, we are to have Christ's mind. We're not supposed to just try to be a good person or try to have good thoughts. No, we are commanded to have Christ's thoughts, Christ-like, a mind. Christ's mind. So this is you translate that word mind, it is an attitude of having a Christ attitude, if you will. So I want you to understand this. I want to set the context and a platform, though, for the message. This message and this verse is to, once again, the same as Ephesians 6. This is to the believer. Okay, this is to a believer. This is once you have surrendered your life and you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is when he gives you a new mind. See, that's where he addressed the heart, okay, and then he's going from the heart to the mind. Y'all with me? So it's he gives you a heart, and then you can say it like this, that he gives brain surgery, if you will. It's that Romans 12 of renewing the mind day after day. It's becoming more Christ-like. So it's God helps you grow by revealing his expectations in his word. So through his word, the Spirit guides us and renews our minds day after day after day. So many times we stop with the heart, but listen, it's connection. It's a connection. All right, so you can't deal with one without dealing with the other. So by his grace, by his Spirit, by his word, we will grow towards having a mind like Christ. Y'all with me? Did I lose you? All right, so now, I'm not saying, children, that he's removed your your mind and performed a brain surgery, but it is, he is refining your thought process day after day. Listen to Matthew in Matthew 22 and take notes. We're going to be all through Scripture in a good Bible study here. So Matthew 22:37 says this, "You shall love your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." So listen, God's addressing all three, your heart, your soul, your mind. He wants you to be like Christ. He wants you to be like Christ. So more than any other part, it's like your mind is displaying the personality. It is, some could say that it's measuring the Christ-likeness. So, you know, we can say a lot of times that we can do good works, we can read the Bible, we can attend church. But listen, God's not worried about the works of the matter. It gets right back to the heart and the mind of the matter. He's not saying that I'm so much worried about the outside of the works. He's worried about what's going on internally. So it's the inside. You know, today in church, we blame so much of the heart. But listen, the heart and the mind, some put it like this, what starts in the mind manifests in the heart, or vice versa. What we go through, what we let take control here gets rooted down here. Y'all with me? That's why it was important when we was talking about the helmet of salvation, putting it on. I read this illustration of a guy, the doctor told this patient. He said, you've got to cut out something. You got to cut out red meat. So the guy's like, okay. So Paul, all he does is he just quits putting on ketchup on everything. So since he's cutting out the red meat, he quits soaking everything in ketchup. Listen, that's what we do, though. Listen, that's what we do. We try to be just like this guy. Instead of getting, okay, in the deep things, like peeling yourself like an onion and seeing what's here and here, we do the same thing. We just want to put on the mask, just cut off the top so that we don't realize what's really going on. We try to walk this Christian life that says this but does this over here. We're like, yeah, okay, we're going to cut this out when people are noticing, but behind the scenes we're still going to dump the ketchup back on. You see what I'm saying? We're not addressing the issue. And listen, this is important because we're supposed to look like Jesus. We're supposed to look like Jesus. We're supposed to have his thoughts. We're supposed to have a mind of Christ, be Christ-minded. So the only, and I want you to understand this, the only perfect human that had ever walked this earth was Christ. Completely human, completely God, but at the same time, we are supposed to imitate. We're supposed to have a mind of Christ. You remember Sunday morning I shared a verse in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 says this, it says about stirring up good works in one another. Even so, as much in the day, and the goal that we should have of having a mind of Christ is that each of us need to be focusing on Christ. Each of us need to be encouraging the other to be having a mind after Christ, to love others, to support one another, to encourage others, to have a mind of Christ. Man, that's Hebrews 10, and even so much so when the day is approaching. So this is something that we need to have an urgency for. Quit playing the game, right? Quit doing and start being. And he's saying, we can't do it by yourself. That's why he gives us Hebrews 10, we can't do it by ourselves. That's why he's called us into one body, so that we can encourage, we can come alongside of each other, so we can help equip each other to develop the mind of Christ, so we can point each other back to the Word. Y'all ain't with me? Romans, once again, Romans 12:2 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It says, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So that's daily renewing. And I want us to see that there's six statements or six places in the New Testament where we get the description of what a Christian's mind is supposed to look like. And in each place, the word mind is used. And from this, we can come up with the six characteristics of the idea of the mind. So the first thing, the mind should be alive. The mind should be alive. And I want you to understand that Jesus does not expect anything out of us, that he's not with us, that he did not endure in his ministry here, that he's not coming alongside of us every day. He's not expecting us to do it by ourselves. He's with us. And Paul tells us the mind should be alive. Here's why. Paul tells us the mind, this is Romans 8:6. The mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. So out of the first characteristics, alive and peaceful. Alive and peaceful. That's what comes from Romans 8:6. So a life without Christ is not a life at all. That's what that verse says. A life without Christ is nothing at all. In fact, Paul says, without Christ, we are what? Dead. He said the mindset on the flesh is what? Dead. But if we have Christ, we have everlasting life. He says, matter of fact, we have life and peace. So we have an everlasting life. And listen, Jesus isn't talking about right here. He's not talking about the face value of life right here, of breathing in and out. No, he's talking about an abundance life, an everlasting life. See, there's a quality of life of those that are in Christ, those who know him. There's a quality, there's an abundance. And those who don't know him don't have that abundance. They don't have that quality. They're dead. So when your mind is on the Spirit, you express life. You express life. So think about this. Do you have control over what you think about? Do you have control of your mind? Yeah, absolutely. Of course you do. That's why the will is so important. When Paul says the mind sets on flesh is death, he's talking about the decision of the will. That's what Brother Paul's been talking about. He's talking about the will. That's why 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. Taking captivity of every thought to the obedience of Christ. Listen, you're not going to do that by yourself. It's by the power of his Spirit. It's by living a life in Christ. This is an activity. This is a day renewing every day. It's a mindset on the Spirit. It's putting on that helmet to be able to stand against the enemy, to not let him have control of your mind. See, the Christian mind is never idle or lazy. It's meditating on his word. It's being in a constant state of prayer. It's losing ourselves in the depth of who God is and his attributes. It's a living relationship. And it's evident in our life. It's evident in how we walk. It's evident in how we talk to other people. We can't contain it. We're living it out. Right? It's a 24/7 thing. 24 hours a day. It's not something that we turn off as a light switch. No, it's living. It's alive. It's all the time. But there's things that we have to realize. The mind that is alive, listen, this is a choice that we make. Whether we're going to live in the Spirit or whether we're going to live in the flesh. And see, those who live according to the flesh, they have their minds on what? Flesh. On themselves. The cares of the world that Paul's been talking about. They live of the flesh, which leads to what? Death. Death. They're hostiles to God. They're hostiles. They're unable to please God. Why? Because there's been no atonement. There's been no salvation. It's separation. But those who live according to the Spirit, they have an abundance. They have life, which leads to peace. They are accepted in the Father's house. They are able to go to the throne of grace. They are receptive towards God. They seek to fulfill God's word. To walk in a life of surrenderance and obedience. So the way of one who lives of the flesh is death. Separation from God. So you're either living in the flesh or living in the spirit. And God wants you to be empowered by His Spirit that leads to a life of peace, a life of abundance, life of everlasting life. Listen, Paul points this out. He says, a person with his or her mindset upon the things of the flesh cannot accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. They can't comprehend. If you're living in the flesh, they can't comprehend the things of God. They can't comprehend the Word. They can't understand Him because they are spiritually discerned. They are blinded. They are blinded. We need God's Spirit to open our minds to understand. So we have to have a mind that is alive in the Spirit. Abide in spirit, not in the flesh. Number two, our Christian mind should be, and you heard this word several times, should be what? Single-minded. 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 It's so easy to, here's a good description of the mind. It's in 2 Corinthians 11:3. He says this, he says, I'm afraid, at least that the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of the devotion of Christ. He's saying, I'm afraid that the same tactics that the enemy used on Adam and Eve, he's going to use to you, and you're going to be led away. See, we struggle with the distraction, the busyness, especially in these days. It's hard to concentrate because we're so bombarded with life every day. Even now, as this message, as we're preaching, so many of us our minds wander. That's why he's saying take captive of our thoughts. We're thinking about the laundry room when we get home that is just overflowing, is never ending, or the yard that hadn't been mowed in 2 weeks, or the groceries have to get, or the homework that's about to have to be done. All these things are what we're going to wear tomorrow. Listen, we're bombarded. We're bombarded even when we're here. We're not single-minded. Single-minded, listen, it pays attention to what the Spirit is saying, follows His commands, His ways. One is not preoccupied. One has a sincere devotion to Christ. Single-mindedness is the discipline of being focused on Christ and His kingdom. Listen, that's a devotion. That takes a choice. That's part of the wheel. That goes back to living in the Spirit, not the flesh. Listen, you can't have a single mind if you're living in the flesh. That's the same as James said, being double-minded. It can't happen. Number three, our Christian mind should be lowly. Paul gives another description. We'll stay in chapter 2 here in Philippians. He gives another description. Look in verse 3. It says, let nothing. Look at that again. Let. He says let in verse 3 and verse 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vain of glory, but in lowliness of the mind let each esteem other better than himself. Listen, so the mind, it should be lowly. Listen, lowliness and humility are a lot alike. But humility deals with our relationship with others. And lowliness is a state of mind. Humility flows out of lowliness. Y'all act like I don't want crazy. Right? Come on, man. It's the opposite of lowliness is the arrogance and the pride. Arrogance and the pride, it's what the world is trying to convince us to promote us all the time. It's living a life of us versus living a life of Christ, of having a mind of Christ. So how do we work on lowliness? It's getting in God's word. It's being aware of His holiness. Listen, when we are aware of God's holiness, listen, it's hard to be full of ourselves. It can't happen. That word perspective that Brother Paul used on Sunday, when we see God for who He is, when we have the right perspective, man, it puts us where we're supposed to be. It's living a life of lowliness. Listen, you want to put that in perspective. I was doing a Bible study this week, and if you go out tonight, I encourage you to go out tonight. Look up at the stars, the moon. Even at daytime, look out the sun, the clouds, the trees. Listen, it puts it in perspective. It puts God's power, who He is, in perspective, that He's here and I'm here. Think about the people who encountered God through the Bible. Listen, that most always that they had a fear, not a fear that it is that we serve a God that is lightning bolts and wrath and judgment. No, not at all. But a realization that He's God and I'm not. That He's King and I'm not. So Christ, that's what we're going to get in this text, is the ultimate example of humility, of love, of selflessness. See, Christ, His model brings to life the Paul's words. As we are united with Christ, we have the same attitude, mind. We have the same attitude of Christ, one of humility. Surrenderance. Ephesians 4:2 says this, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. In love. Listen, all believers should share the humble, the selfless mindset of Christ. Not I, but Christ. So as we recap here, the first three characteristics, we've learned that the mind is what? Alive. Should be alive. It has to be alive, have a Christ-like mind. And second, we said that the we should have a single mind to focus our attention, our all being, on Christ and Christ alone, of who He is to build His kingdom. And third, we said that we have to have a proper perspective of our position, of His greatness, that He is God and we are not, to walk a life humbly, of surrenderance. Number four, our minds should be pure. Our minds should be pure. You guys took a shower in the last couple days. You guys ever use that soap that says like 99.9? So you realize that 99.9 is not like 100% pure. God declares our minds to be 100% pure. 100% pure. And the mind is, and the conscience gets so corrupted and all the impurities. But he says that we're supposed to be pure. You can reference Titus 1:15. He says this in Titus 1:15. He says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. Listen, a pure mind is tough for a Christian today, right? Whether it's driving down the road, looking at a billboard, whether it's on something coming on the radio, whether we're on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever we're doing, something on the television, even going to Walmart, right? Or even the grocery store. Listen, it's hard. You can say that the grocery store is even an adventure to keep the mind pure. Sin is everywhere. It's everywhere. So it sounds like an impossible battle, right? It sounds like something, it's like an uphill battle. I never get to the top. But listen, don't panic because just because it's an uphill battle or it seems like it can't be done. Purity begins with a desire to be pure. It comes back to the will. It's like anything in your life. If you want it, you're going to what? Do it. It takes some devotion. It takes a sacrifice. And until the desire of purity becomes the passion, you ain't going to make it. Until you're bombarding every fiber of you with the word and submerging yourself, you won't make it. Until you're putting on the helmet and all the other armor, you're not even going to make it. God will provide a way to overcome the impurities, to resist the temptation. He says that. He says in Psalms 101:3, he says, I will set no wicked before my eyes. And there's a key to the truth, that the strength to resist temptation comes before you're tempted. And he says that in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says, no temptation has overcome you except as in common to man. But God is faithful. His faithfulness, who's not allowing you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make a way of escape. A way of escape so you may bear it. So he provides a way. God knows. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're facing. And don't be afraid of it. If anything, that's Psalms 91. If anything, don't be alarmed when adversity comes. When the distractions come, don't be alarmed. In fact, that's where we go to hide in the shadow of Almighty, so close that we touch the feathers of his wings. That's when his glory is magnified. He's saying, let me protect you. Let me defend you. That's how being single-minded, to knowing exactly where to hide. Fifth thing, that our Christian minds should be responsive. You understand that you have to respond. When Jesus appeared to his disciples the evening of the resurrection, the Bible says that he opened their minds to understanding in Luke 24:45. Listen, he couldn't have opened their minds if the disciples were not willing. That's where we're getting in the wheel. In other words, the disciples had to be responsive. They had to be willing. They had to be willing to let God open their minds. They couldn't understand the scripture without it. Without the Spirit, you cannot understand. His teaching, his word, he guides. See, Jesus chose them. He chose them. He recognized not who they were, but who they were going to be. He said, man, they're great candidates. They're willing to go through the training course. They're willing to finish the season. It's not going to be perfect, but they're going to walk in obedience. When they get the setbacks, they're going to get back up. They're going to keep on keeping on. They were teachable. They were receiving. They wanted to learn. Listen, they wanted to learn who their rabbi, every fiber of their teacher. They wanted it. You cannot understand Scripture by your own human mind. It takes the Spirit, God's Spirit. God has to open your mind for understanding. Willingness. Willingness to sit and listen. This is a tough one. Wait. You know what the hard thing, Paul, about wait? Wait's not sitting and talking the whole time. Waiting is. Listening. Letting God open your mind to the word of what he's saying. Jesus wants you to respond to the teaching. See, it's the opposite of responsiveness. We see it in Scripture. It's called blindness. It's if you look at Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul's talking about the Israelites in the desert. He says their minds were blinded. Were blinded. He's talking about a spiritual dullness. That the dullness is when people don't open themselves up to the word, to his teaching of what the Spirit's trying to, what he's trying to tell us. See, that's exactly what the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they messed up. They had a dullness. They had a choice. They were so submerged in their own self-righteousness that they couldn't, they was not open to seeing the Messiah in front of them, to receiving the Spirit. They were spiritually dull. If you look back in Exodus 34, that's where we see that Moses removing his veil. Man, that's a language to Christ. See Christ, to see his glory clearly, he must unveil our minds and our heart. We must. The scales off our eyes, of our heart and our mind, we must be aware of what he's doing. We must be responsive. He's wanting to renew daily the hearts and minds, enable us to see the revelation of God. See, they needed to see the revelation. They were so on the old covenant, they couldn't see the new that was standing before them. And too many of us today, we can't get past the old to see the new. He said, I'm doing a new thing. But you can't be spiritually blind. You got to unveil your hearts, your minds. Remove. Listen, the responsive, that's where we see in Luke 11, 1, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us. This is responsiveness. That's the responsiveness that each of us need to have to God. Teach me. Show me. This is a relationship with Christ. This is a relationship that Jesus had with God. Listen, the disciples didn't want his healing power. He had already given that. They weren't so blown away about that. They wanted to have the relationship with him that he had with the Father. That's what they were seeking. The relationship. John 8:28 says, Jesus, he says this, I do nothing of my own, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. Listen, Jesus was imitating what the Father was doing. He heard what the Father was saying. He did nothing independently of the Father. We are to live a life to be like Christ. So we are to imitate who? Christ. Jesus imitated the Father, so you're to imitate Christ. Jesus saw the activity of the Father, so you're supposed to pay attention to his earthly ministry. He heard from the Father, so you're supposed to do what? Hear from Jesus. He was taught by the Father. Taught by the Word. Jesus. He could do nothing apart from the Father. Listen, that should be our desire of our minds and our hearts, to have a singleness, an active, a lowly, a humble, to have a mind that wants nothing to do with anything but Christ. Nothing apart from Jesus. Jesus. Jesus was close to the Father. Listen, we must stay close to Jesus. Jesus wants us to have, and I know this isn't a good word for us today, we need to have an open mind to his teaching, not to the world. I wouldn't use an open mindset for all things. His teaching. His teaching. Number six, a Christian mind should be peaceful. Peaceful. Romans 8:6. My mouth's drying out tonight, Jimmy. 8:6. He's given us the adjective of alive. Alive. Life to the spiritual mind. But it gives another word. Another word in Romans 8:6. He says, to have peace. The mind set on the Spirit is a life of peace. Life and peace. So the Christian mind is peaceful. It's peaceful. But listen, you control your thoughts, your mind. That's up to you. Galatians 5:22, the list of peace as the fruits of the Spirit. Listen, when a farmer takes care of a fruit tree, it bears what? Fruit. Listen, if you work on setting your mind of Christ, you're going to bear what? Fruit. And in that, God will provide peace. 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 He lived a life that was sinless. Speaking peace into the storms. Not worrying about the chaos and everything around. He lived a life that was focused on the Father. The Father. He promised rest to the weary and the burdened. You'll find rest and peace when you're looking to Jesus. So when we look at these six goals, are you being like Christ? Is your desire to be more like Him every day? It's worth it. Because we don't learn that living in the flesh is what? Death. But abiding in His Spirit is life. So we're to be alive. We're to be single-minded, lowly, pure, responsive, peaceful. Some of us may be feeling discouraged about not knowing where we are or what's going around or losing heart. Those are things that Christ is trying to get out of us. Look to the Father. I read a story about a young girl who had accepted Christ as her Savior, and she applied membership at a local church, and a deacon inquired and asked her, "Were you a sinner before you received the Lord?" She said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." He looked back to her and he said, "Well, are you still a sinner now?" He said. I think this gives a good description of being Christ-minded. I like this thing. I'm saying that I understand the controversy between sinner and saint. I understand that, but I want you don't lose this illustration. She says, "To tell you the truth, I feel I'm a greater sinner now than I ever was." She said, "I don't know how quite to explain it, but this." She said, "I used to run towards sin, which is living a life of the flesh." She said, "But now that I'm saved, I'm a sinner that runs away from it." It's a new heart, a new mindset, doing a new thing. You're abiding in the Spirit. You want as far away from the flesh as you can get. So as we're closing, I pray each of us have a mindset of Christ. That we're running the other way. That we're running after Christ. That He is the goal. He is the desire. He is what we want to feast on every day. So I wonder where we're at tonight. I wonder, and I want you to understand, this is a message to the believer. So you can't have this mindset unless you first have a new heart. So I wonder out here tonight, I wonder who needs a heart transplant. who comes and admits that they're a sinner and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, confesses. Total surrenderance. I wonder about the Christian who's sitting there, and some people call it a carnal Christian. Y'all can come on, get ready, I'm about close. A worldly Christian who's been dabbling here, dabbling there, that's half on, half off. I wonder who will come and fully put on the helmet. Taste and see, feast, submerge yourself. God, I've been playing games. I want you to have everything. Man, we all struggle with this, and we all want to sit here like it ain't real. I wonder who's willing to move and stop quenching the Spirit. Bow in prayer. Father, we come for you with my heart so heavy. To the lost who is sitting there, Father, I pray that as you reach your hand out, Father, I pray that they are receptive, responsive to you tonight. Father, that they enter a relationship, accept everlasting life that is only possible through Jesus Christ. And Father, for us Christians, I pray that we can live a life radically, that we can have a single eye. Father, that we thirst and hunger for you and you alone. Father, I pray that you would give us strength to take captive of our thoughts. Father, show us, search us tonight. Show us the things that need repentance, the things that need forgiveness. Father, the relationships that need mended. Father, reach down and do a work that only you can do. Father, we're longing for a manifestation of your Spirit, and we just want to be a part of that. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.